بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين، وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين، وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention, our hearts attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the sincere intentions in our sayings and in our actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the prophets and messengers as a mercy to humans. They were sent to teach people the correct and acceptable way of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah the Creator created us and ordered us to worship Him. Allah ta'ala said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah created us to order us to worship Him. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not benefit by our worship. So when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah doesn't get any benefit for Himself from our worship. But Allah Azza wa Jal does whatever He wills, because Allah is the creator of this whole universe. Everything in this universe belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is not questioned about what He willed, because Allah is the creator and the whole universe is owned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah created us and ordered us to worship Him. And for people to know how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly, Allah sent prophets and messengers. Now there is a difference between a prophet and a messenger. Now remember this, then we will explain it. The scholars said, every messenger is a prophet, but not every prophet is a messenger. Every messenger is a prophet, but not every prophet is a messenger. What does that mean? When we say Ar-Rasul, Ar-Rasul, the messenger, Ar-Rasul, the messenger, is a prophet who has come to people with a new set of laws, new set of rules of the religion, new set of rules. Because the rules of the religion from Prophet Adam alayhi salam up to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon them, weren't the same at all the times. I'm talking about the rules of the religion, the laws of the religion, based on the best interest of the slaves at a specific time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed set of rules to a prophet so people can follow, people can implement. One example is, the first prophet, The first messenger and the first human being is Adam alayhi salam. Prophet Adam alayhi salam was sent down to earth with Hawa, Eve. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Eve a wife for Adam. She got pregnant 40 times. In each time she used to have twins, a boy and a girl. Except in the last pregnancy, she had one boy, and that was later on Prophet Shees alayhi salam. So basically about 79 children they had, and they were all brothers and sisters. The interest of the slaves at that time, so they can have more people, more offspring, so they can reproduce. Allah revealed to Prophet Adam alayhi salam that it is permissible for one to marry his sister, but not his twin sister. Meaning a sister from different pregnancy. Let us say in this pregnancy, one boy, one girl. The following pregnancy, another boy and girl. They can marry in a cross way. That boy from the girl from different pregnancy and vice versa. But the twin brother and sister were not allowed to marry each other. And that was for a reason. So it's just for a period of time. By the time Prophet Adam alayhi salam died on earth, after completing 1,000 years of age, because he lived about 1,000. He lived in paradise for about 130 years. On earth for 870, he completed about 1,000 years. By the time he died, the number of his children and the children of his children, the offspring, reached 40,000. So after his death, now 40,000 spread. Allah revealed to Prophet Shees alayhi salam that it's not any more permissible for one to marry his sister, even if she's not his twin sister. Now cousins can marry. Now there's no need for one to marry his sister, because at this different era of time, that's different now era after Prophet Adam alayhi salam, people reproduced to that extent, 40,000. So cousins could marry. Then it became forbidden for one to marry his sister from different pregnancy, because there is no need for that anymore. So Allah revealed to Prophet Shees alayhi salam that it is no longer permissible for one to marry his sister, even if she is not his twin sister. Why? Because there is no need for it now. See, that's the rule of the religion. It changed. Another example, from the time of Prophet Adam alayhi salam until the time of Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam, whose name was Israel as well. Yaqub is the son of Ishaq, Isaac, who is the son of Ibrahim alayhim salam. Yaqub has another name other than Yaqub, Jacob, which is Israel. So from the time of Prophet Adam till the time of the children of Israel, they used to pray one prayer. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, ordained upon the children of Israel to prayers throughout day and night. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained upon this nation 5 prayers throughout day and night. The rules of the religion change from one era to another based on what? On the interests of the slaves at that specific time. At the time of Prophet Yaqub, Jacob, one was allowed to marry 2 sisters at the same time. Later on, it became forbidden. Although Prophet Yaqub, Jacob himself, did not marry 2 sisters at the same time, but according to the rules that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him, it was permissible for one to marry 2 sisters at the same time. In some of the previous nations, they used to pay as zakah a quarter of their money. They used to pay as zakah. Now they pay 2.5%, and many do not pay that portion either. 2.5%. In the past it was 25%. Before this nation, they didn't have tayammum, dry purification with dusty soil. They had only one option, which is wudu. They had wudu, and they used to make wudu. Even in Sahih al-Bukhari, it is narrated that when Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam and his wife Sarah went to Egypt, to the land of Al-Jabbar, that was the king of Egypt, they both performed wudu before entering his land. So it was ordained upon the previous nations, wudu. So it's not specific for this nation. However, what is specific for this nation regarding wudu is what is called al-ghur wa tahjil. Al-ghur wa tahjil. Al-ghur is when one is performing wudu, he adds, in washing the face, a portion around the face. Now that is extra care, because what he needs to do is to wash the face. He would do more than the boundaries of the face, extra around the face. And when washing the hands and the feet, he also exceeds the washing beyond the elbows and beyond the ankles. Now what happens to all that? All these spots around the face and around the part above the elbow and above the ankles, on the day for judgment, these spots will be illuminated. Illuminated, will be shiny bright. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam, knows those who are of his nation from that sign. They would see that illumination of light around their faces and above their ankles and above their elbows. He will see this. That's called al-ghurwa al-tahjeen. This is specific for this nation. But wudu, they used to make wudu. But in this nation there is dry purification. Meaning if you don't have water, you are in a desert and you want to pray, you can use the soil to perform what we call tayammum, dry purification. Then you can pray. In the past they didn't have this. They would have to wait until they find water. Then they can perform wudu and pray. Not only that, according to the previous nations as well, they were obligated to pray only in the places designated for worship, like mosques these days, and there were mosques. They had to pray in these mosques. They had mosques in the past. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى. So Allah called al-Masjid al-Haram, al-Masjid, the mosque. and Al-Aqsa Mosque. So Allah called it a mosque, and it's not built by this nation. It's from the previous nations, and Allah called it a mosque. They had to pray in the place that is Al-Mosque, the mosque as these days. They weren't allowed to pray in their houses. They weren't allowed to pray in the marketplaces where they work, trading. They weren't allowed to pray in the farm where they work. They had to leave their work and their houses and go to that specific place designated for praying. So now, if you think about it from that perspective, that they used to pray one prayer from the time of Adam alayhi salam to the time of the children of Israel, then two prayers upon the children of Israel, then now five prayers. Yeah, but the five prayers are easier than the two prayers that they had to pray in the past. Because the five prayers, you can pray them at home. You can pray them at work. You can pray them at your university, at your school. But in the past, no, they had to go to these specific places. These are changes in what? In the rules of the religion. Also in the matters of cleaning oneself from urine, if one contaminates his clothes with urine, in the past it was severe. Meaning, if one gets contaminated with urine came on his clothes, the clothes won't be pure by washing the clothes with water, no. They didn't have the option to wash the clothes and that's it. They had to cut out the piece that got contaminated with urine. Now we can wash it with water. It's much easier. In the past, it wasn't like this. So, in general, if you want to think about this, you will know that Allah revealed to this nation, to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the easiest of the rules of the religion. The easiest. The simplest. Out of all the rules of the religion revealed to the previous messengers, the easiest were revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the one who said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ بِالشَّرِيعَةِ السَّمْحَ. The easiest and simplest. Sharia. Sharia means the rules of the religion. The simplest and the easiest Sharia was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as you can see, the rules of the religion differ from one messenger to another. A messenger is a prophet to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a new set of rules. Now, could be some changes to the rules revealed to the previous messenger, and could be new rules added to the rules revealed to the previous messenger. So it could be a new rule that is revealed to this messenger, or an abrogation, we call it in English, to the previous rule. Like, for instance, at the time of Prophet Moses alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, when some of the children of Israel disobeyed Prophet Musa alayhi salam, Allah forbade them from eating the animal fat. The fats of the camels and the like, they weren't allowed to eat them. Now we can eat them, the fat. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that was like a punishment for them for disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disobeying Musa alayhi salam. Allah forbade them from eating the fats of the animals. We talk about the edible animals, of course. But later on Allah sent Prophet Isa alayhi salam, and Allah revealed to Prophet Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, that this matter is no longer forbidden. So it has become permissible. However, there were some rules in the past were revealed to the messengers from Adam alayhi salam till Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that never changed. So according to all Sharia's, now you know what Sharia means. Sharia, the set of rules of the religion revealed to a messenger at a specific time. That's the Sharia of that Prophet. The Sharia revealed to that Prophet. All of them, all the messengers, all the prophets had in their Sharia's that one is not allowed to eat pork, ham and bacon. Any pig meat is forbidden. That's according to all Sharia's. According to all Sharia's, it was revealed to them that one is not allowed to eat the blood of the edible animal even. So even if it's an edible animal, a slaughterer, that blood that flows out, one is not allowed to eat it, to consume it. That is forbidden. To commit fornication and adultery, that is also forbidden according to all the Sharia's of the prophets. So there were things that didn't change, and there were things that changed according to the best interests of the people, the slaves of that era. Now when a prophet comes to people with a new set of rules, or when the prophet abrogates, meaning the rules that were revealed to the previous messenger change with these rules, so they will be replaced. So actually, what he does, he overrides the rules that were revealed to the previous messenger. Then we call this prophet who came with a new set of rules, or when he replaces some of the rules that were revealed to the previous messenger with the new ones, so they will change, they will be abrogated, we call this prophet a messenger. We call him what? A messenger. But if he is a prophet and he were ordered to follow fully the rules of the religion that were revealed to the previous messenger, so he didn't come up to people with new set of rules, he did not abrogate some of the previous rules, then we call this a prophet only. He's not a messenger. He's not a messenger, he is a prophet only. For that reason, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked in the hadith narrated by Ibn Hibban and others, when one of the companions said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, how many prophets did Allah send? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, 124,000 prophets. 124,000 prophets. Then the companion asked, how many messengers were there amongst them? Because not all of them were messengers. How many messengers were among them? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, 313. Then the companion Abu Zar said to the Prophet, who was the first one? The Prophet said, Adam alayhi salam. Then Abu Zar said, was he a prophet and a messenger? And the Prophet said, yes, he was a prophet and a messenger. So not all the prophets were messengers, But all the messengers must be prophets. That's why we go back to the expression that we used, and we told you we're going to explain it. Every messenger is a prophet, but not every prophet is a messenger. So the prophets were sent as a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide people, to teach people, to remind them of worshipping Allah alone and not to associate any partners with Him. Also, to tell them to fulfill the obligations and avoid the sins, and to tell them how to live this life properly and wisely. Even Prophet Adam alayhi salam was the first one to teach how to make the currency out of coins. And the coins they used to use at that time were made of gold and silver. They call it dinar and dirham. Dinar is like a coin made of gold. It's a golden coin. Dirham, silver coin. Adam alayhi salam made the coins of silver and gold. And he taught his children how to sell and buy. He taught them how to make houses. He taught them what to eat from the plants, how to cook, how to do all these things. So he told them the basics that they need to live on earth. It's not like what unfortunately these days mentioned in some of the so-called science books. They show you that was the first human, and they show you something that looked like an ape, bent back, hairy, looks like an ape, and they show you that this is the first human. And they show you as well a stick with what piece of stone, and they tell you this is how they used to live. They call it the Stone Age. Once they say the Stone Age, once they make it Ice Age. Wait a few years, they might come up with Fire Age. They come up with weird things every now and then. But that is not true what they say. There's no such a thing as Stone Age. There's no such a thing as Ice Age. These were like theories and dreams, something they think of and they come up with, and then they put it inside the curriculum and they teach that to students. Adam alayhi salam was the first human. He taught his children the languages. He taught them the Arabic language, the Syriac language, and other languages. But he used to communicate with them with the Syriac language. But he taught them the Arabic as well. The first word Adam said when the soul was blown into his body, when he was in paradise, and he became alive, the first word he said when he sneezed, he said, Alhamdulillah. So he spoke the Arabic language. That was the first thing he said. He was in paradise. And the language of the people of paradise is Arabic. On earth, he taught his children the Arabic language, the Syriac language, and other languages. So they learned all that from him. They learned how to make food, how to live, how to trade. He taught them that. So it's not as they think now, or they try to show you in some books, and you gotta be careful. And even they mention Darwin's theory, Charles Darwin, and they claim it's called Darwin's theory, but they teach it in some schools as if it's a fact, although it's a theory, and many rejected his theory. Many rejected his theory. And they show you in some books, according to their claim, how people, they say, evolved from apes. They show you an ape, then he started straightening up bit after bit, then he became a human being. That is not true. The first human being was Adam. Adam alayhi salam was very handsome. He's a prophet. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith that every prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent had a handsome face and a beautiful voice. Then he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I have the most handsome face and the most beautiful voice, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah to grant us the virtue of seeing the Prophet in our dreams, inshaAllah azza wa jalla, in his original form, inshaAllah azza wa jalla. That will be a great endowment from Allah azza wa jalla. So all the prophets were handsome. They had beautiful voices as well. So Adam was like that. He did not look like an ape. So the prophets, starting from Adam, were sent to teach people what is beneficial for them in this life and in the hereafter. They all taught their followers the correct belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now listen to this. Allah, the creator of the universe, does not resemble any of the creations, does not need any of the creations. His existence is without a beginning, without an end. Allah is attributed with hearing, sight, kalam, speech, and life, but in no way similar to ours. All these attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were taught to the followers of the prophets by the prophets. They taught them the correct belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They taught them about the day of judgment. They taught them about the presentation of the deeds, paradise and hellfire. Because these matters will not change. These matters remain the same. Paradise was created before the human beings. Hellfire was created before the human beings. So paradise and hellfire were created before the human beings. So they will never change. So the prophets, the messengers, they all told their followers that there is an everlasting abode for the believers called paradise. And there is an everlasting abode for the non-believers called hellfire. So they taught them this. All these basics, the essentials of the belief, were taught by the prophets to their followers. And this did not change. Because Allah is our creator, this fact does not change. It doesn't matter in what era you are. This fact does not change. Allah is our creator. Allah does not need us. This fact does not change. Allah's existence is without a beginning, without an end. This does not change. Allah created paradise and hellfire. There is day of judgment. All these matters do not change. So these matters were taught to the followers of the prophets, and they were all the same. So what the prophet taught us about the day of judgment is the same as what Prophet Adam taught his children, same as what Prophet Moses taught his children and his followers, same as what Prophet Isa alayhi salam taught his followers. So these matters never changed. Because these matters pertain to what? To the belief, to the creed. And the matters of the creed did not change. And it doesn't matter at what era, at what age you are, There is no need for these matters to change. And it does not affect the way the slaves live on earth, believing in paradise and hellfire, that they are an everlasting place. That does not affect the way they live here on earth. That's why all the believers of all the prophets have this same belief. Now the difference between a messenger and another messenger is in the rules of the religion, that what we call Sharia. Not in the Aqidah, not in the creed, in the Sharia. In the Sharia, the set of rules, yes, based on the interests of the slaves at that specific time, they will have something different from those who come later on, and their situation will be different. Their needs will be different. We do not have the right to question Allah Azza wa Jal because we are the slaves of Allah. We are to be questioned on the Day of Judgment for what we did, for what we said, for what we believed. But Allah, the creator of the universe, the owner of the universe, is not questioned why you made this permissible and you made this forbidden. We do not question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does whatever He wills. Allah created pigs and created sheep. Allah made it permissible for us to eat sheep, the sheep meat, and Allah made it forbidden for us to eat the pig meat. Allah does whatever He wills. Now some ignorant people, they want to question Allah wal-iyazu billah by saying words that would reflect objection to Allah's will and to Allah's orders. And they would say, why, and some of them, wal-iyazu billah, they say it doesn't make sense, and the like. All these ways of questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are blasphemous. Because the first one to commit blasphemy was Iblis, Satan, and his blasphemy was by objecting to the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are you to object to Allah azza wa jal? Who are you to question Allah azza wa jal? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give you the ability, the power to get rid of the waste inside your stomach after you eat, you blow up. You die. How many people would suffer from the pains of different diseases and sicknesses in this life, and they know they are unable to do anything? The doctors would stand in front of them unable to do anything. You are a creation, a weak creation. Look around yourself. Look at the sky, the solid structure. It doesn't fall on you, although there are no pillars holding the sky. The skies are carried by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the skies, look at the moon, at the sun. Imagine if they fall on earth, that's it. Look at yourself in this whole universe. You can't live without breathing air. You need the air to breathe, otherwise you die. You need water to drink, otherwise you die. You need food, otherwise you die. Look at yourself, how weak. You don't have the right to question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know how some ignorant people, subhanAllah, they say, Because someone asked me that question a few days ago. He said to me, like, someone was telling him, he was objecting, obviously, and he said, وَلَيَّذُ بِاللَّهِ, why didn't Allah create all human beings as believers? Why Allah would for some to be believers and for others to be non-believers? Why would Allah torture the non-believers in the hereafter for not believing? Why did Allah create them in the first place? That's what he said. And Allah knows by His eternal knowledge that they are going to be non-believers. The answer is very simple. Allah is not questioned about what He does. We are questioned. So the belief is one. All the prophets, all the messengers came with one belief. The difference was in the rules of the religion. When a prophet comes to people with a new set of rules, or when he abrogates some of the previous rules, we call him a prophet and a messenger. Now, out of all the prophets and messengers, there were five that were the top of them. And those are called Ulul Azam. Those with the highest ranks. Those with the highest ranks. And they are in this order. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, Nuh alayhi wa sallam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet Abraham, Prophet Moses, Jesus, and Noah. May Allah's peace be upon all of them. These were the top prophets and messengers in the highest ranks. Now the prophet who has the lowest rank out of all the prophets is better than the rest of the world. The prophet with the lowest rank is better than the rest of the world. Allah Ta'ala said, وَكُلًّا فَضَّلْنَا عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. Every one of the prophets is better than the rest of the world. Every one of them. See, like, a human being might be righteous. A person might put a false effort to become a wali, righteous person, highly ranked righteous person. He might stay at night praying, praising Allah Azza wa Jal, fast the days, performing as much as he can from the acts of worship. He might reach a stage of righteousness, wali. And also he might reach the highest level of righteousness, and this is called as-siddiqiyya. That was granted to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He was in that level. He is the best of all the awliya amongst the human beings. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Between the highest level of righteousness and the least level of prophethood, thousands of ranks. So still far from that level, that rank, the rank of prophethood. So any prophet is better than the rest of the world. Better than all human beings that are not prophets. Is better than the angels. Is better than all the jinn, a prophet. Those five were the best. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith narrated by Al-Bukhari, Al-Anbiya ikhwatun li'allat, deenuhum wahid wa ummahatuhum shatta, wa ana awla an-nas bi'Isa ibn Maryam لَيْسَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهُ نَبِيٌّ. This hadith means, the prophets are like brothers from the same father, but from different mothers. Their religion is one, although the sharia's, the rules of the religion, differed. Then he said, I'm the most deserving of Isa, Jesus, the son of Maryam, Mary. There was no other prophet between us. Isa alayhi salam was raised alive and awake to the sky, and he is currently in the second sky. After the ascension of Prophet Isa alayhi salam to the second sky, by about 600 years, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. So between Prophet Isa alayhi salam and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was about 600 years. And there is no prophet in that era between Prophet Isa and Prophet Muhammad alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew this analogy. It's a beautiful analogy, comparison, between the brothers that have the same father and different mothers and the prophets. Why? Because the father, that's the origin, is one. And he meant to say that all the prophets have one religion, which is Al-Islam, one belief, no difference in the belief and the creed. The religion is one. The Prophet said, Deenuhum wahid, one religion. Because logically, if one thinks about it, when he says that there is one creator for this whole universe, and the creator sent prophets and messengers, quickly he would comprehend and conclude that the message must be one message. Because they were all sent by Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah will not send a prophet or a person who is called a prophet, messenger of God, who will tell people to worship other than God. For that reason, all the messengers told the people to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to worship other than Allah. Not to associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather to worship Allah alone. That message is one. See how some people use a wrong expression these days. They say the heavenly religions. There's only one heavenly religion, which is Al-Islam. They use that term. They say the heavenly religions, there is only one heavenly religion, which is Al-Islam. And that is the only religion that is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is something called the heavenly sharia's, as we mentioned. The rules of the religion that was revealed to Prophet Adam alayhi salam differed from those revealed to Prophet Abraham, also different from those that were revealed to Prophet Moses and Jesus and so on. So the rules of the religion differed between one prophet, one messenger and another. We call this shara'i' samawiyya, heavenly sharia's, but not heavenly religions. Allah sent all these messengers to keep reminding people, you have to worship Allah only. You cannot associate partners with Allah. You cannot worship other than Allah. They repeated this message to their followers. And whenever after a prophet dies, people start worshipping other than Allah afterwards, then Allah sends another messenger. He would renew that call of Islam, telling them to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, not to associate partners with Him. Then after His death, if people go back to worshipping other than Allah, Allah sends another messenger, and so on. For that reason, from Adam to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 124,000 prophets, 313 messengers amongst them. 313 messengers amongst them. Keep reminding people, and this is an endowment from Allah. Because Allah doesn't have to send messengers and prophets to the slaves. But that is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith made it very clear that the religion of the prophets is one religion, which is Islam. So Adam was Muslim, Abraham was Muslim, Moses was Muslim, Jesus was Muslim, Muhammad was Muslim, Noah was Muslim, Jacob, Isaac, all these prophets were Muslims. All the prophets were Muslims. They came with that religion. But what was different between messenger and another is the Sharia, the rules. Some of the rules changed from one messenger to another. Some of the rules changed from one messenger to another. That was the difference. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed by His eternal will that the last prophet before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be Prophet Isa alayhi salam, the son of Maryam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for Prophet Isa alayhi salam to be born in a special way, to be created from a mother with no father. Allah does whatever He wills. But that doesn't mean that we call Him the Son of God because He was born from a mother without a father. Adam was created and he had no father, no mother. Eve, Hawa, was created without a father, without a mother. The first animals that Allah created were created without fathers, without mothers. That does not make all of them children of God, walayyazu billah. But Allah Azza wa Jal does whatever He wills. Now what happened regarding Maryam alayha salam? Maryam alayha salam, Mary, the mother of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, was a pious Muslim woman. She's even the best of all women ever lived. There is a whole chapter in the Quran called Maryam, Surah Maryam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about Maryam in two surahs, in Surah Maryam and in Surah Ali Imran. And her story was mentioned in detail in the Quran as well. And how the mother of Maryam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be granted a child. The mother of Maryam lived for a long period of time until she reached an advanced age when women usually can no longer conceive babies. Then one day she saw a bird feeding its baby, and she longed for having a baby. Then she supplicated Allah Azza wa Jal, and she asked Allah Azza wa Jal to grant her a baby, and she vowed that she would make that baby a servant to the Holy House in Jerusalem, Al-Aqsa Mosque. He will be a servant for the mosque. Because she was hoping and wishing that had her supplication been fulfilled by Allah Azza wa Jal, she would be granted a baby boy. That was what she was expecting. But she became pregnant and she delivered a baby girl. Now she made a vow to make her baby a servant for Al-Aqsa Mosque. Now she had a baby girl. For a baby girl, or for a girl when she grows up, she wants to be able to be in the mosque at all the times, as you know. During her monthly cycle, she can't stay inside the mosque. So Maryam's mother made that vow, and when she was granted Maryam, she wanted to raise her in the Islamic proper way. Now, people had a dispute, who's going to raise Maryam? Who's going to raise Maryam? Zakaria alayhi salam was married to her previous sister, and he said, I want to be in charge of raising Maryam. So he wants the custody of Maryam to be his. He's a prophet, Zakaria alayhi salam. Others said no. Her father was a renowned figure amongst us, and we want to raise Mary. Then after they had that dispute, now all of them, of course, based on a certain perspective, they found in themselves the entitlement to raise Mary. Everyone thinks I'm more entitled than the other one. So then they made a draw. But in a very strange way, they said, we'll throw our pens in the river. Now definitely the floating pens will be moving with the current. So as the river is flowing with the current, the pens will be floating, moving with the current. They said, we'll throw the pen. The pen that does not, or that goes against the current in the opposite direction. So the water is flowing that way, and the pen, the one whose pen goes against the current, will have the custody of Mary. They threw their pens. All the pens went with the current, except for the pen of Prophet Zakaria alayhi salam, it went against. They said, we'll remake the draw. But this time, we're going to make it different. The one who is paying goes with the current, takes the custody of Mary. They threw their pens, and they all went against the current except for the pen of Prophet Zakaria alayhi salam. They knew, of course, this is something to show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for Mary to be raised by Zakaria alayhi salam. Just imagine a lady is raised by a prophet. A prophet is taking care of her. She was raised in Al-Aqsa Mosque, worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and even Zakaria alayhi salam would leave her in the mosque and every now and then would check on her, how she's doing. As mentioned in the Quran, that he used to come to her and see her having the fruits of summer in winter, and the fruits of winter in summer. And he would ask her, where did you get that from? And she would say, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah grants the sustenance abundantly. And she even became a righteous, pious Muslim before even she turned 14. She became a righteous Muslim. And she is the best of all the women ever lived, as we mentioned, as Allah mentioned in the Quran. وَإِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَّرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen you as the best woman of the world. She's the best woman ever created. And that shows that Muslims respect Prophet Jesus alayhi salam, respect his mother Maryam alayhi salam, glorify them, honor them, respect them, yeah, but they do not raise any of them to the rank of Godhood. So we love them, we glorify them, but we do not raise any of the human beings to the rank of Godhood. We love Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and but we don't say about him he is God or Son of God, wa layyazu billah. Inshallah ta'ala will continue talking about Prophet Isa alayhi salam next week. We'll talk about how Maryam got pregnant without a husband, and how she delivered Prophet Isa alayhi salam, and what happened with Prophet Isa alayhi salam during his call to Islam, and the miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported him with. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We say La ilaha illallah 3 times.